Hello, Vista Baptist Church, both those who are a part of our church family and also those who are tuning in for some midweek encouragement. We continue our study on the book of Psalms. I'm recording outside by the playground of the church. It brings back the memories of when children were playing here on a weekly basis, and it makes me and causes me to miss those times of sweet fellowship, to miss those times to watch children play and enjoy one another's company, as well as to discuss around the dinner tables on Wednesday night various things in life, biblical questions at times, and a myriad of different things. But I say all that to say that I miss you, and it is a gorgeous day out, and I hope that you have used today to get some fresh air and enjoy God's glorious creation. In this video, we're going to study Psalm 97. That is Psalm 97. So if you would turn there, and as you turn there, I'm going to ask that God would bless our time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would bless it, that you would bless our time in studying it, that you would use this to draw our attention to the fact that you, O God, are not caught off by these circumstances that we find ourselves in, that you are not a God who has been frustrated by these things, but that you are a God who even reigns supremely now, that you are sovereign. And I pray, God, that you would use this study to encourage and edify your people, and that you would use it to draw them to a more secure and steadfast faith in your Son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Now, if you would, take a look with me at Psalm 97, beginning in the first verse. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice. Because of your judgments, O Lord, for you, O Lord, are high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. The big idea and the major encouragement that we should glean from this psalm comes to us in the very first line. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. He is in charge. He is sovereign. He who created the world out of nothing by his own power and might, he still upholds the world and governs it by that same power and might. He reigns. And there are 5 points that I want to draw from this psalm, and really 5 responses that we as his people, and we who don't belong to his people right now because we have not trusted in Jesus Christ, but we as human beings ought to respond to the fact that God reigns in the way that this text teaches us. So to begin with, number one, Yahweh reigns, so let us celebrate him. The rest of verse 1 says this, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. God is worthy of our rejoicing. He is worthy of our praise. Indeed, God who made all things, who governs all things, the one true God who has revealed himself in the scriptures, who has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, is worthy of our rejoicing. He is worthy of celebrating. And that doesn't change with our circumstances. God still remains who he is. God still continues to reign, even when everything around us, at least from our vantage point, is in disarray. He still reigns. So let us, his people, and those of you who have not become a part of his people by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, may you join the people of God by faith in the Lord Jesus and join in this grand symphony of celebration of the fact that Lord reigns. He is a steadfast anchor for us in these turbulent times. So the Lord reigns. So let us celebrate him. Number two, Yahweh reigns. So let us fear him. Yahweh reigns. So let us fear him. Look at verses 2-6 with me. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the earth, seas, and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples see his glory. The author of Hebrews picks up on this imagery, or similar imagery, that Yahweh, the God of the Bible, he is an all-consuming fire. He is completely righteous. He is completely holy. And his enemies are not able to stand before him. When he decides that it is their time to be done, they are done. And God throughout history has judged nations. He has judged peoples. Indeed, as Isaiah says, all the nations are a drop in the bucket. They cannot withstand the might and the wrath of God when it is poured out upon them. And this should stir in us a healthy fear. As God revealed himself to Moses when he descended upon Mount Sinai and showed him his goodness as he passed by, as Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock, God declared that he is righteous, that he will by no means acquit the guilty, that he will visit judgment on fathers and their sons to the third and fourth generation of those who disobey him. This God is an all-consuming fire that we encounter in the Bible. He is not the mere grandfather in the sky, but he is a God who is a righteous judge, and he reigns. And when God so decides to pour out his judgment, there is none of his creatures, including you or I, or the governments that we erect, that can stand against his wrath. He is a God who is worthy of our fear, and a God who reigns supremely. Mountains melt like wax before him. The whole earth sees his judgment and trembles. So us who belong to him, knowing that God is judge and that he is righteous, should give us a healthy fear. But rather than prompting us to run away from him, it should prompt us to run to him. Because if God is, as the Bible describes him to be, reigning and also righteous, there is nowhere else we can flee from him other than to the mercy that he has extended to us. In the fullness of his mercy and his grace extended to us is the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. That yes, God is righteous. Yes, God is just. Yes, God will not acquit the guilty. But as God also revealed himself on Mount Sinai, he is a God of steadfast love and faithfulness, that he is a God who shows mercy, that he extends grace upon grace. And we receive that grace, we experience that grace, by trusting in God the Son incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is able to forgive our sins because his Son Jesus came and lived and died as our substitute. God's wrath was satisfied. And we see that in the fact that Jesus rose from the grave and ascended to the right hand of God. And we who have hoped in Christ know that he will return and rescue us from that final day of the Lord, that final judgment, where those of us who belong to him will be rescued. But those of us who have not cleaved to his Son, who have not cleaved to Christ, we will face the judgment that we deserve. And that judgment is righteousness. Let us fear him. Yahweh reigns, so let us celebrate him, and let us fear him, and thirdly, let us worship him. Verse 7 is a call to worship. Look there. All worshipers of images are put to shame who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. God, through the psalmist, attacks the idols. Idols are vanity. Whether they are the ones that are erected on our hearts, whether they are the ones that have been fashioned throughout the ages, whether they are anything that we put in the place of God, all those things at the end of the day are vain. They cannot provide salvation. They cannot deliver you from the curse that has come upon us in and through the rebellion of the first man, Adam. They cannot save us from the consequences of our sins. They are worthless. So rather than worshiping idols, rather than worshiping money or property or medicine or government, let us come and worship the true God, the giver of these, the manifold gifts and blessings that we enjoy. Let us come and worship him. It is a really lousy trade-off to worship the gift rather than the giver. So let us forsake the idols and let us worship the one true God who has revealed himself in the scriptures. Yahweh reigns, so let us worship him. The fourth point is Yahweh reigns, so let us love him. So let us love him. Look at verses 8 and 9. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. You, O Lord, are most high above all, or most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Go ahead and read verse 10 with me. Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints, and he delivers them from the hand of the wicked. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Zion, Judah, these are descriptions of the people of God. We, his church, are citizens of Zion. We are the true Israel of God. We are the culmination and the fulfillment of what is typified and foreshadowed in the people of Israel. We are God's people. We are those who by God's grace love God, and by God's grace are loved by God. And we have every reason to rejoice at the judgment of God, because we see it as just. And we have every reason to also rejoice in the mercy of God, because we see him as a God who has abundant mercy. And we who claim to be a part of God's people, who claim to be Christians, we should be lovers of God. We should be lovers of Christ, who is God in the flesh. Samuel Pierce, a 18th century Baptist, theologian or pastor as well as theologian, once described some characteristics of a lover of Christ or a friend of Christ. And they include adoring Christ's person, loving Christ's people, and promoting Christ's cause. And that is what we should be about. We should be about adoring Christ, adoring our God and Savior, adoring our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit who He has so graciously poured out upon us. We should be lovers of Christ's people. We should love the church. We should miss each other. And we should desire to be around each other and pray for each other and do good for each other. And we should promote Christ's cause. We should preach the gospel. We should preach that the Lord reigns, irrespective of how people respond to that reign. Let us call sinners. Let us call sinners everywhere to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting salvation. Those who love God, though the wicked from time to time may appear to be conquering them, they will ultimately see victory because their God reigns and their Lord Jesus. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father and He has all authority in heaven and on earth. His people will not ultimately be conquered, but instead with Him, they will conquer their enemies. The last point is, Yahweh reigns. So let us thank Him. Look at verses 11 and 12 with me. Light is shown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to His holy name. Ultimately, in Christ, God has given us so much that we can hardly even fathom this side of glory. We do get to taste many of the manifold blessings that have been given to us in Christ now, but not in their fullness. We get to fellowship with Christ by and through the person of the Spirit, but we don't yet see Him face to face. We are able to put sins to death here and now, and yet we still struggle against the flesh that remains in us and still struggle with sin, but one day we won't. We do not now enjoy the full benefits of what we will enjoy in eternity. But we do have steadfast hope. We do have assurance. We realize that the promises of God are not anchored in our performance, but rather are anchored in God's very own character and nature. God will do what He said He would do. And He is able to do it to the uttermost. So Christian, understand that Yahweh reigns. Understand that He is in charge. And trust in Him. Worship Him. Celebrate Him. Fear Him. And love Him. And thank Him. And if you don't know Christ, I plead with you to consider trusting in Him. He is worthy of your faith and He is able to save you. If you want hope in this time of difficulty, it is to Him you turn. Let us go to our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time that we've had in Your Word and I pray that You would use it to the benefit of those who watch and listen. God, we love You. We worship You, we fear You, and we understand that You reign. To You be all glory and praise and thanks. Amen.